This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Vonslow, and I'm going to talk about gaming. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Are you tired of searching for trained technicians? If so, let Napa Auto Tech help you build a technician with their Build a Tech program, kind of like Build-A-Bear. These three-day courses cover one of four individual topics: brakes, electrical, steering and suspension, or HVAC through a combination of classroom lecture, hands-on, and utilizing training mock-ups. Visit NapaAutoTech.com. Yeah, I said it, gaming. I don't think I'm technically a gamer. I mean, I guess I use a gaming laptop, but mainly I use that for, really, I got it for presenting at classes and running PicoScope, PowerPoint, internet, or searching the web for things, pulling up web pages during presentations, stuff like that, just multitasking. The computers I was using before were same computers I was using for scan tools, and I don't know, I just would get delays, and I'm very impatient. When I hit a button, I wanted to do something right away. So I ended up buying a gaming laptop. It's really Intel i7 processor. And yeah, the only games I've ever really played on it are FreeCell. And I think one day I broke down and played regular solitaire. And then it's Windows 10, and I got the pinball game that came with Windows, probably XP, maybe came before that. Maybe it was on Vista. I didn't got that going on there. That's really about it. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't have a gaming PC. Kids don't. But I do have a PlayStation 5. I suppose technically we have three of them. One is, honestly, it's kind of like our entertainment hub. I don't know that games get played on it. It's really what everything else we watch through it. Netflix, Prime, Max. No, it's Max. Keeps changing. It's almost like trying to keep track of Chrysler scan tools. It just keeps changing. Finally get an app. Finally seems like it's working. And but yeah, lately, you've probably heard me reference it a couple times. I've been playing this game called Elden Ring. And if you're not a gamer, you're not into games, I hope you stick with it a little bit and hear me out. First things first, if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about, kids, friends are over, whatever, you find yourself in a spot where you got to talk to some kids that do like video games, tell them that you like Souls games, that you just like to die over and over and over. They'll know exactly what you're talking about. You won't have to really say much more other than you just, you know, keep getting better. Keep working on getting good. Those are the terms that are used. It's all you need. You're well equipped now for a conversation. But yeah, lately I've been playing this game called Elden Ring. It's a Souls game. It's from a company called From Software. And they started out with, I think, Demon Souls. And we don't need a whole history of it, but they're notorious for difficulty. The games are hard. I don't know that there's even settings to go in and make it easier. They're just notoriously difficult. And the whole point, really, of them, and specifically Elden Ring, is you get killed, you learn from your mistakes, you keep learning like how you died, you start picking up movements or attack sequences that ended up being your demise. Should you be switching tactics? I was just running up and start wailing on this enemy, if you want, NPC. Or just an enemy, the bad guy, the whatever you're taking on, that maybe instead of just running up and starting to wail on it and just button mash, you're better off trying to ranged combat, stuff like that. The beginning of the game, literally, you build your character. There's people that spend, I don't know about hours, but close to an hour just building the character, distributing attribute points if they can, how it's going to look. I don't really get into that. I do spend a lot of time just staring at the attributes for different characters. How are you going to start? How are you going to play? There's certain players or characters, if you will, or builds. There's certain builds lend themselves better to melee combat. Others, of course, are more like wizards, casting spells. others yet, just long range combat, maybe like an archer, more like an archer. So I do spend some time that way. But other than that, just hurry up and get into the game. And I'm kid you not, in Elden Ring, the very first thing you do is die. You have an opportunity to kind of go through a tutorial, learn some basics, how to attack, how to defend, very, very skeletal. The rest is learn as you go. And you run out of the gate, if you will, up to this big, big spider. And yes, some very, very accomplished players can defeat the spider, but that's not the point. The point is die. You're going to die. You're going to get beat up, whooped, your butt handed to you. And I think that's the biggest, most glaring lesson from the game. And maybe a lot of games, not just this one, but a lot of games, is don't give up. Get back up. Try again. Learn from your mistakes. Pay attention. Pay attention to what happened. Sometimes it was just bad luck or just bad timing. But sometimes it's just bad strategy. Like I said, you're running up to this boss, you're running up to this enemy, and everything else before you just ran up to and started mashing the buttons and you won and collected your experience, or in the case of Elden Ring runes, which is your experience points, your currency, everything. They keep it pretty simple that way and move on to the next thing. That sometimes isn't the way. Sometimes you need to go in with a strategy. And if that strategy is bad, you have to keep changing the strategy. Lesson number two, right? Be fluid in your strategy. Don't go in with a lot of just rules, or this is just the way. This is the only way I do this. Every freaking car that comes in for a drivability problem, I do this battery of tests. I start out, I test the battery, and then boom, every car, fuel pressure, whatever it is, it's set in stone. No. Try to be more fluid. One of these days, I'm going to have Ken Zanders on here. We're going to talk about Bruce Lee, and we're going to talk about Be Like Water. Or we should talk about Be Like Water. But again, your strategy needs to be a little more fluid. You have to be able to modify it. You have to be able to change with the condition or with the type of problem. Like, okay, it's a drivability problem, big umbrella. Are you going to attack a lack of power the same exact way you're going to attack a misfire and a flashing mill? You probably shouldn't. I mean, there's going to be steps that, of course, overlap, of course. But for the most part, the strategy is different, and it should be. And then whatever strategy you're using, if it's not taking you where you need to go, you got to step back, reassess the strategy, and change it. Just like the freaking game. If you're not a gamer, this is a game I would probably recommend, but you're going to be very frustrated. Very frustrated. You're probably going to have a very, very love-hate relationship with this. But already, there's kind of two lessons. One, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Sounding a lot like Jimmy Valvano. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. That doesn't mean don't ask for help. Okay. Sometimes you got to ask for help, but don't throw in the towel. There's probably some business stuff going on where your certain decisions might be taken out of your hands. We have to make money. But if you're allowed to come in on weekends, work after hours, I guess a lot of us, and when I say us, I would just say, I suppose I could say a group of friends, but really I'm just thinking of that group of techs that most of us would associate with savvy diagnosticians. They've invested a terrific amount of their time to figuring out these problems that have just eaten them up, with the idea that this investment will pay off one way or another. It will pay off. It might be long term. It might be down the road. It's going to start paying off. It by itself might not pay off directly. Like the investment on this specific vehicle may not be what pays off, but it's the investment, the continued investment of time on this vehicle, on the next vehicle, and the next, that now together result in a much more capable technician, or much, much more capable technology specialist, or much, much more capable, much, much more savvy mechanical specialist. That's what I'm talking about. And then the second lesson already that we've taken from this one game is be fluid with your strategy. you often hear even referenced with chess players, right? They're altering their strategy based off where the pieces are, how their opponent's playing, what openings there may be, what was perceived to be an opening was closed down. You might even have to, if we're talking about chess, which is maybe a bad example in this specific case, but if you've ever played, sometimes you're not playing for an outright win. Sometimes you're playing for a draw or a stalemate. Okay. And that's the truth. That is especially tournament strategies. For 98 years, the Napa name has meant quality parts and service. It also reflects top quality training programs to help you build a more successful vehicle repair business. No doubt, the technician shortage is impacting everyone, but you're not facing this battle alone. Napa has the solution by making Napa Auto Tech training available near you. Napa Auto Tech provides automotive aftermarket technicians career development opportunities through structured, disciplined, measured, and high-quality technical instruction, no matter the technician or service advisor skill level. This instruction enhances understanding of vehicle systems, increases first-time repair capability, and overall customer satisfaction. It also prepares technicians to become ASE certified. It's a fact, technicians who receive training to improve their knowledge and skills have a higher sense of job satisfaction. This reduces technician turnover and increases productivity, directly improving a shop's profitability. It is vital to the success of a shop's business that today's technicians are equipped to diagnose and repair today's complex vehicles. With our ever-changing technology, the technician's knowledge and skills need to be updated and refreshed on a regular basis. As you labor over the decision of whether to send your techs to get their skills sharpened, keep in mind, Napa Auto Tech training is an investment, not an expense, and it's available to all. Much of Napa Auto Tech's training is offered in more than one format to accommodate varieties of learning styles and training preferences so each person can maximize their learning. Whether you're more of a hands-on person or enjoy learning at your own pace, Napa Auto Tech is here to provide you with the training you need in the format that works best for you. To learn more about what Napa Auto Tech offers, contact NapaAutoTech.com. Elden Ring, one of the things that make it really so great and different from most other games, I guess if we're going to describe Elden Ring, we could call it kind of a role-playing game, okay? It is kind of set with fighters, wizards, stuff like that. The thing is like the competition, if you will, like a Final Fantasy type game, or even like the Grand Theft Auto types, the Red Dead Redemption type games, Witcher games, Fallout series games, it's usually directing you where to go. Okay. So there's some sort of indicator of where you need to go. What is the next task at hand? What's the main line of the game, the main story line of the game, if you will, the main path? And then what are the like sub games or side plots, stuff like that? You just kind of click on those and it will tell you where to go. There's none of that in Elden Ring. You are plopped into this, what seems like a fairly large world that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger with no direction whatsoever. You really have no idea what to do. So you start exploring. That's really the nature of it, exploring. And interestingly enough, it's so open world that very easily, even in the very nearby map area, you can run up against enemies that you will not be able to beat. They will destroy you. And the thing with Elden Ring is, and I guess I keep going on and on about it, but it is that good. It really is. When you die, you kind of lose everything. You lose your ruins, your experience points. You have to try to run to that spot that you died and collect those back. If you don't, they're gone. They're gone, gone. So it's a little bit of pressure sometimes. I guess where I'm going with that is why that seems important to me is sometimes we don't have a really good direction. You know what I mean? Sometimes the manufacturer does not provide really good service information to give you an idea what to do, or even aftermarket. What would pop into my mind first is like parasitic drains, battery drains. A lot of manufacturers do not give us a really good direction on what to do for their car lines. We've learned through trial and error, going to training classes. I guess I've never really Googled it, but we're classes that we can either stream, if you will, or stuff we can look up online, like a YouTube video. Scanner Danner type videos, going to our online training resources, like a NAP Auto Tech training, where maybe there is something, some program that will just give us a few good steps to take on parasitic drains to get us on the path we need to go. Or Facebook groups, of course, just outright asking for help, but just reading through what other people have done. I'm just not familiar off the cuff with a service information that gives you a really good path to drilling down a parasitic drain, be it just a bad component or worse, something like a switch going flaky that keeps waking up a module that wakes up a network, right? You have to figure it out on the fly. You have to explore. You have to kind of embrace that a little bit, just like the game. And I do, like I adore games like Fallout, specifically Fallout 4 or The Witcher 3. I love those games. But to a point, sometimes they do seem relatively unchallenging. Like I don't have to figure it out. I just say what plot or what storyline I want to follow or sub-story, side quest. I click on it and a diamond shows up somewhere or some sort of an indicator on my map, which way I got to go. That's not real world all the time. We don't always have a flow chart that just takes us through all the steps we need to go through to get to the result. That's not real world. That doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes we're lucky. Sometimes. Or sometimes we have a book from a training class that does that, to, kind of serves as that direction we need step by step. Sometimes. A lot of times it's we got to put together that strategy ourselves. And in a game like a Souls game, and specifically, I guess I'm just going to reference Elden Ring for the most part. That is part of the game one should embrace to truly enjoy the gaming experience, the play experience. And when we're doing our jobs, I guess honestly, this is very heavily slanted towards diagnostics because I guess I am biased. That's what I do. You will very rarely find me doing an R&R type repair. I don't have time to do it. I'm really just not that good at it. For R&R repair, maybe we do have a little bit more direction or a lot bit. A step by step, take this apart to get this part out. There is a process, there is a procedure to follow, and that would lend itself towards some of these other games. There isn't as much free thinking. However, those that are free thinkers that use the procedure as kind of a general guide, and maybe they end up following it because you have to. Otherwise, you just don't know. You've never done it before. But while you're in there, your eyes are open. You're paying attention, or you're looking over the process or the procedure before you start going, I don't think I got to take that apart. I think I could do this. I think I could sneak it through here. I think if I take this off instead, which isn't mentioned in the procedure, this thing will come right out, no problem. That's free thinking. That's rejecting the procedure given to us. And I'm not trying to dump on the procedure. Like the procedure comes from the manufacturer. If you find yourself in some sticky situations, or I guess I don't want to just jump to like legal, but let's just say for the sake of discussion, a legal issue, it looks a lot better sitting there going, I followed the manufacturer's procedure to do this step by step, versus like, well, I looked at it and I go, well, I just had to do this, this, and this. Is that part of the OE procedure? Well, no, but the OE procedure is dumb. Yeah, that I bet you that goes over really well. And that's not saying we need to follow the OE procedure every freaking time either, because as we all know, sometimes it is terrible. Sometimes it's wrong. It's broken. It's dumb. But food for thought. I mean, these are just really, to me, if you're into gaming at all, these are things that we deal with when we're playing these games that we can take to the shop. We can take it to work. We can use those things that we enjoy that make the gaming experience fun and bring it right to work with us. It translates quite well. And then with gaming, when you succeed, there's just that rush, that sense of accomplishment. And I think a lot of times we forget that we're at work, we kind of expect it. But I think it's kind of good, not kind of, I think it is good, not to let your head swell up or anything, but you know, sometimes it's not a bad thing to have a bit of a sense of accomplishment, even on a mundane task or something we deem mundane. Like, I definitely don't see a problem. I would almost encourage people to just to step back, or while you're on that test drive, if you're like me, you're on the test drive and if it fixed it, you're relieved. I have a sense of relief. The jig isn't up just yet, but also just a little bit of, maybe just a little bit short of patting yourself on the back. Just, I think it would be okay to feel good about what you did and were able to do. And of course, the big ones, the ones that are killing you, and then you get it. Whether it's through just inspiration and boom, figured it out, or dumb luck. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Feel good about that. Honestly, memory is linked to feeling. It really is. And again, I'm not saying to go overboard with this, and that's a relative statement, but having a certain good feeling from what happened, that sense of accomplishment can get that memory to stick just a little bit better. And that's what really helps down the road, is remembering these situations, remembering what worked, remembering how you did something. And of course, we should make use of journaling. That by itself is terrific for memorization. That's also terrific for being able to level with yourself and just say, like, I didn't do this so well, but you know what? I did this really well. Like, I had a really good idea, or I had a really good conversation with somebody that gave me information that led to the repair, gave me information that led to shaving a lot of time off of this removal and replacement, anything like that. It, over time, it just builds up into something very positive. So yeah, enjoy some success, just like you do from a video game. Sometimes you're relieved to finally defeat that boss or finish the game, and then have a little bit of a sense of accomplishment. And I think that's one thing with like Elden Ring, is being that it is so tough that you end up dying a lot. You go up against a boss of some sort and it's just destroying you, and you're changing up strategies and you just don't have a chance, that you try to go get your runes and then run away, get out of there and work on leveling up. Go somewhere else and work on that and get better. I suppose the translation of that could be give up on this car and ship it. Maybe that is something that should happen. But then going and improving yourself so that if that vehicle comes back, or a vehicle similar to that comes back, you're going to be better. You're going to be better prepared. You're going to have better strategies, or more strategies to draw from, better equipment to improve the chances of success. I think that is a great comparison, that sometimes we have to back away, go do some improvements. And sometimes it is just tooling up. Sometimes it's going to get better weapons, be it in the game, our arsenal of diagnostic equipment, our arsenal of just tools, special tools. I mean, that's real world. And sometimes we can do that within a couple of days, just order it up, get the tool there and get the job done. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm not ready to be purchasing just yet. The shop is just not in a position yet to be able to justify that cost. We have other things we need to do. And that's life. That is business. It's what we got to do. But can we get to the point where it isn't so much like that anymore? Can we get the business to where we need this tool, order it up? Maybe there's almost an agreement with tools that are under X amount of dollars, whatever that is, $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000. There's an agreement that if it's under X amount of dollars, just freaking get it. You don't have to go through management, order the thing, get it there. If it's more expensive, then yeah, we got to talk to management, show them why we need it. And then hopefully the business is in a position where, yeah, let's get it. Let's do it. Let's open up this market. Let's go after more of this type of work, whatever that may be. Yeah, I hope those of you that don't play video games kind of see where I was going with that. And if you've thought about playing a video game, if you handle a lot of failure for those successes that don't come often enough, that you give Elden Ring a chance. It's been out now for, boy, like 2 years. So the cost of it has dropped significantly. Give it a whirl. And those of you that do play video games regularly, I hope this speaks to you. And if there's any times where you're struggling at work, you listen to this going, I could take a lot of the enjoyment I have from gaming and apply it to my job. I think it works quite well. If it doesn't, please let me know. Please send me an email at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your comments. You can message me, instant messenger. Yeah, if you have ideas for further shows or want to be on, again, please drop me a message. Yeah. Other than that, I would just like to take a second to thank our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training, and Umbrella, from which the Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z podcast kind of operates under, Aftermarket Radio Network, for letting me do this. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, please take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.